We're holding on Chof Beis, Amud Beis, by the two dots, a little more than halfway down the Amud. The Mishnah had said, Krichas b'Rishos HaRabim, if a person finds bundles of grain in Rishos HaRabim, Harei L'Shaloi, then that's another example of something that he can keep. Now, the question is that there's a certain, that we have to figure out, are we talking about that there's a siman, and the primary thing is that it's because it's in Rishos HaRabim, or are we talking about only when there's no siman? So the Gemara says, "Amar Rabba va'afilu davar sheyesh bo siman." Rabba says this would apply even if the bundle has a siman on it. For the siman would be, for example, that there's a the knot on it was tied a certain way, or there might even be a tag on it or something showing some kind of siman. However, Alma kasavah Rabba, but you see then that Rabba holds siman also be doris when you have a siman that's going to often be trampled. Loi have a siman, then it's not a valid siman because the owner is going to be miyaish from such a thing. Because the owner, Rashi says, is not going to be soimich to even bother giving a siman. He's going to think to himself it probably got trampled by people who are walking around. So even let's say it had a distinctive kind of knot or something, or even it had a tag or something, by the time people have stepped on it, and it's a low thing, and people are likely to step on it without even realizing, then the siman is going to be destroyed, and therefore the owner to begin with is going to think to himself that I'm not going to be able to identify it by the siman anyhow. Or a different way of learning. The Shittim HaKubetzis brings that the owner is going to think to himself the siman probably got changed by the walking and trampling on it, and therefore why should I even bother giving a siman? The siman is probably not going to look the same by the time somebody found it. So that's according to Rabbah. On the other hand, Rava Amar Leishanu Ela B'Davar Shein by Simen. No, when we say that you can keep Krichas B'Rishos HaRabim, is only when it has no Simen. Ava B'Davar Sheyesh by Simen. But if there were a Simen on it, a distinctive knot or whatever, Chayef L'Hachriz, then you would have to announce it. Alma Kasava Rava Simen also B'Daris have a Simen. So you see that Rava then holds that a Simen that's, even though a Simen is often going to be trampled, nevertheless it is a valid Simen. And the Gemara points to, therefore, he's not Miyach. And the Gemara points out, now, the way we just presented the machlokas is it's in connection with the Mishnah. When we say krichas b'rishos harabim, what kind of krichas are we talking about with or without a siman? There are those who learnt this machlokas as an independent machlokas, not tied to the Mishnah. They brought up the general points. Simen osi lidoris, Rabba Omer lo have a simen, but Rabba Omer have a simen. So same machloikas, but a different way of whether they were saying it in reference to the Mishnah or as an independent thing. All right, the Gemara says Tanan. Let's look at our Mishnah and at the next Mishnah. We learn in the Mishnah krichas b'rishos harabim harei l'shaloi, that if you find bundles of grain in Rishos HaRabim, then you can keep them. But the next Mishnah continues, Rishos HaYochid Noitel Machriz. But if you find them in Rishos HaYochid, then you have to take them and announce them. Now, of course, if you find them in Rishos HaYochid in a way that where it seems obvious the person left it there deliberately, then don't take it at all. That's we're going to learn in a couple of blocks. Called Derech Yinuach Lo Yito. When you have something that was seemingly placed there purposely, then you shouldn't take it. But here we're talking about where it is B'Rishos HaYochid, but it seems to be Derech Nefila. A Rishos HaYochid, by the way, for this purpose, doesn't necessarily mean the same as like an Hilchos Shabbos or something. It just means a place where very few people go by. So we're saying there's the basic difference then is between Rishos HaYochid and Rishos HaRabim. So we have to consider heichidami. What's the scenario? Idelesbahu simen. If there's no simen in them, there's just a yachad at my machos. Then what are you supposed to be announcing if you find it in a yachad? What are you gonna what kind of what, Rashi's girsa, which is the way we have it in front of us in the Gemara, is my machos. What is he going to announce? Meaning, in other words, what is he supposed to announce exactly? He can't. He has to give some kind of. He has to give some kind of statement about it that he can say, "I found such and such," and then somebody will give a simon on them. But if he finds it in Rosh Hashanah, what exactly would he announce? It's true that a bundle of grain doesn't necessarily have, here we're talking about, the bundle of grain has no siman on it. So, after all, the whole point is, we learned at the end of the previous perek, for example, that if you find a bundle of shtaris, it has to be at least three in order for it to be a siman, because that way you can announce, I found shtaris, and somebody is going to go and give a siman and say that there were three of them. But here, a bundle of grain, if it has no siman, then what are you supposed to announce? I found a bundle of grain, and the other person is going to say, yeah, I lost a bundle of grain, but how is he going to show that, what kind of siman that is, are we leaving open for him to be able to provide? And the answer is, macher is makan. The answer is, I skipped a couple of lines over here. So, my machers. Doesn't that mean, therefore, that it must be there's a simen? And still saying that if it's in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, then he would be able to keep it. So you see then that a simen that's going to be trampled is not a simen, the tiyuv to the Rava. And in that case, wouldn't that be a contradiction to Rava? Because Rava is saying that if you find the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim and it does have a simen, you don't have to return it. But the way we just worked it out, it sounds like you wouldn't. The answer is Amalach Rava La Olam Deles Bahu Simen. Rava can tell you no. We are in fact talking about where it doesn't have a simen. Udka Amit Rosh Hashayachid My Machriz. So you're asking what's he supposed to announce in Rosh Hashayachid? Machriz Mokun. What he can do is he can announce, and the person he won't say about what it is that he found. Rashi explains. He'll just say, I found something in such and such a place. So he'll say, I found in this Rosh Hashayachid, I found an object. Somebody will come and say, okay, that object was a bundle of grain. The Rabba Oma Mokum Lehavi Simon, whereas Rabba says that wouldn't be a valid simon. It's not distinctive enough. Many people might have lost something in that place. The Itmar, and in fact, we have a discussion on that very point. Rabba Amaloy Habis Simen, but Rava Amahabis Simen. Is the place where something was found considered a simen, or is it not? So Rabba says that no, Rabba says no, and Rava says yes. And in fact, Tosfos points out, based on what we just said in the Gemara over here, it comes out that the two machlokas are interdependent. Because Rabba holds Mokim Loy Havi Simen, therefore that leads him to say the original point that we were saying that Rava and Rabba argue on about Simen Osilidoris. Now, anyway, Tosfos actually has a bit of a different, has a somewhat different explanation on the Gemara's question of Idaleka Simen Mai Mach. The question was, according to Rashi, what are you supposed to announce and still leave room for the person to give a simon? Because if you're saying, I found a bundle of grain, the guy's going to come and say, you found a bundle, I lost a bundle of grain, but that's not a simon because he's just repeating what you said. So that's according to Rashi. Tosfos explains that rather what it is, what's the point of all, what if you're going to say it has no simon, what would even be the point of announcing it? There's no simon. What is the guy supposed to give as a simon? And the answer is, he can give a simon of mokon. So not like Rashi, you would say, I found something in such and such a place, and then the guy comes forward and says it was a bundle of grain, but rather the other way around. You would announce, I found a bundle of grain, and the guy would come forward and say, okay, I lost such a bundle in such and such a place. And then if you found it in that place, then there, that's a simon. So now you do have then that Tosfos brings elsewhere that you have it says an Ama Oretz you don't announce about his Aveda. So you'd have to be talking about a place where there are lots of Ama Oretz, and therefore maybe you wouldn't have to return it. But also Tosfos says that not necessarily we're saying a person might lie about such things, but also a person, you could always tell him, okay, you lost something in this place. Lots of other people probably also lost things in that place. So we have two machlokas now of Rabba and Rava, which are interdependent. It starts with Rabba saying that Mokum is not a simon, according to Rashi. In other words, it can't just be that you announce the place and the person comes forward and says, I lost this object in that place. And according to Tosfos, the other way around, that Machr is Mokum would be you announce the item and you wait for the person to come forward and say that that he lost it in that place. Anyway, Rabba says such a thing is not a valid simon. It's not distinctive enough. And Rava says that it is. So the Gemara says, Toshma, let's bring a proof from a Braisa. It starts off like our Mishnah, Krichas B'Rishos Rabim Harei L'Shaloi, that if you find bundles of grain in Rishos Rabim, then you can keep them. B'Rishos Yochid Noitel Machris, but if you find them in Rishos Yochid, then you pick them up and then you announce it and go find the owner. And the Braisa continues, V'chol Alumos, as far as Alumos, which are larger bundles, Krichas are small bundles of grain. Alumos are much larger ones. So those ben b'shas rabim ben b'shas yochid no to lamachris, those you would take and announce no matter where you find them. So we have to ask Rabba heichem etaritz love Rava heichem etaritz. How are the question is on both Rabba and Rava? How are each of them going to understand it according to their shitta? Rabba, who's saying that mokum is not a simon and a simon osi lidoris is a simon. Or says it's not a simon, rather. Rabba is saying neither of these things is a simon. Mokum is not a simon, and simon also lidoris is not a simon. Rava is saying that they both are. So why is the Braisa drawing a distinction between krichas and alumas? And again, so in our Mishnah, Rabba is saying that the krichas, it doesn't matter whether the krichas have a simon or not. Either way, it's also lidoris. And Rava is saying only when it doesn't have a simon, but here neither the krichas nor the alumas have a simon on the face of it. So what's the distinction? And the answer is Rava mataritz the time may the simon. The answer is Rava is going to understand according to his shitta that the braisa is talking about they do have a simon. However, it's a simon or asilidoris. But Rava mataritz the time may the mokum. Rava is going to say that we're talking about that the simon would be the place where they are, and when we're going to work out how that would come out according to each one of them. Rava retires the time maybe simon. He would say like this. So the distinction is krichas b'shos rabim harei l'shaloi mishum demidrasa, because krichas being small, they're more likely to get stepped on. So therefore, so it's a simon or osili doris, and like we said, a simon or osili doris is according to Rabba not a simon. Rishus yochid, but if it's in rishus yochid where it's less likely to be trampled on, no to lamachris, then that he has to take and he has to announce the loy midrasa because it's not going to be stepped on because there aren't that many people going through over there. As far as large bundles, those either way he would have to announce kiven de gvihan, because since they're higher, they're bigger bundles, so they're taller. That's all. It's less likely loy midrasa. People are not going to step on them because people might step on things that are low, that are tefach or too tall or something, that are a few inches tall, but not alumas, which are much larger. People aren't going to step on them. So therefore, so Rabba would understand that's the distinction. The Rava Matiris Atamei, Rava would explain it according to his shitta, B'mokum, that we're talking about as far as the place is the simon. Again, according to Rashi, I found this object. I found something in this place, and the person comes forward and says what the something is, and according to Tosfos, the other way around. So krichas b'shos rabim harei l'shaloi. So the reason why krichas in b'shos rabim, why you can keep them, diminashtafa, because they get kicked around. When you find it in a certain place in b'shos rabim, that's not necessarily where it was dropped in the first place. So it rolls around. Even now Rashi had said again that you're going to announce the place. But here, in other words, the thing, what's the point of announcing the place where you found it, according to Rashi, is the person is going to think to himself, oh, you're saying that I found it in front of, I found it in front of 770 Eastern Parkway. Oh, well, I was there yesterday and I dropped it, and I dropped something over there. But over here, since it gets kicked around, the person is not going to think to himself, well, even if I did lose it in front of 770, it's hardly likely to still be there. It probably got kicked around and moved around.
And then you also have the consideration. You also have the consideration what Tosfos had pointed out that we just said, according to Tosfos, that explaining Rashi that you still have to have at least that he knows where he lost it. But here, otherwise, you say somebody else might have easily lost something in the same place. Well, the same thing over here, since it gets kicked around, then it's not. Then the place itself is not really distinctive at all. So Rishas Yochid Chayv Lahakuz. On the other hand, Rishas Yochid, you would have to announce it Delay Minashtafa because it doesn't get kicked around because it's large and heavy, so therefore it doesn't get moved around from place to place. V'halumus Ben Rishas Rabin Ben Rishas Yochid No Telemachros. As far as Alumus, either way, you'd have to announce them Kivin Diakiri because since they're heavy, Loy Minashtafa, they don't get kicked and moved and rolled. Actually, Minashtafa doesn't really mean kicked. Rashi explains Misgalgo, Baragla, Odom, Behema. It gets rolled around by, it gets rolled around from place to place by people and animals' feet. So Alumos, though, either way, they're not going to get rolled around from place to place because they're heavy. Okay, so both Rabba and Rabba can understand why there's a distinction between krichas and alumus, whether the difference is that they're going to get stepped on or whether the difference is that they're going to get rolled and kicked around. Okay, the Gemara says, Toshma, let's bring a proof from further in our Mishnah. Kikris shal nachtem harei l'shaloi. The Mishnah says that if you find loaves of bread that were baked by a baker, then you can keep them because, as we said, the baker, that individual baker or all of the bakers bakes the same kind of bread. And we also don't know whether it's the baker or the customer who dropped the bread, implying that if you found loaves of bread that were made by a balabas, you would have to announce it. It actually says that explicitly in the next Mishnah. And so Rashi wonders, why is the Gemara doing that? Before, when we said by the krichas, we actually quoted from our Mishnah versus the next Mishnah that draws the distinction between Rishas Yochid and Rishas Rabim. Why over here does the why over here does the Gemara not do that? Is so Rashi says because since the Gemara had started with trying to the Gemara had started with asking from the ratio of our Mishnah, Krichas B'Rishas Rabim, so therefore now it wants to similarly see that there's something in the ratio, namely in our Mishnah, that seems to contradict Rabba without even referring to the next Mishnah. So Hosha Balabayas Chayv L'Hachris, so implying that if he found one that were baked by a Balabayas, he'd have to announce it. Well, Shabalabayas my timer. Now, what would be the reason why you'd have to announce them when it comes from a balabais? The pashtus kiven de isbahu simen, because they have a simen. De media dia rifta de inish inishu. It's well known that a person's bread is the person, meaning, in other words, that every person bakes the bread according to their style and according to their taste. And therefore, veloshino rishasi rabim, veloshino rishasi yachid, no to lamachres. Now, when the Mishnah says kikris shal nachdem arei lo shaloi, unlike the Krichas, it doesn't draw a distinction between Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Hashanah Rabin. And the next Mishnah, when it says Kikris Shabbat Abayis, also it doesn't draw that distinction. So with loaves of bread, there's no difference between Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Hashanah Rabin. The only difference is the simen. No to the machlis. Now, on the face of it, again, loaves of bread are small things. They're more likely to be stepped on. And any simen that there was in terms of the shape or whatever is going to be long gone by the time you find it. Alma simen also the dirtas have a simen. So that shows that a simen that's going to be trampled on is still a simen, and the person can depend on the simen still being reasonably intact by the time it's found and on being able to get it back. Kiyuf to the Rabba. So wouldn't that be a contradiction on Rabba who says simen also the daughters is not a simen? And the answer is Omalach Rabba Hosam Hainu Taima Mishum De Ein Ma'avirin Ala Oichlin. You know why over there? You know why in the case of a loaf of bread. You know why in the case of a loaf of bread, it's different, and it doesn't matter, even if it's in Rosh Hashanah Rabim, is because you're not allowed to pass by food. You find food lying on the ground, you have to pick it up. So it's not going to be lehidaris. It's not going to be in the street for very much time because the first person who passes by is going to pick them up so they don't get trampled. Now, there are a different way of understanding in Ma'avir and Allah Uchlin could be that you're not allowed to step on them. Rashi and Tosfos both say that it doesn't mean you're not allowed to step on them. Rashi and Tosfos both say it doesn't mean stepping on. We're not concerned that people are going to actually step on them. But nevertheless, there are other Rishonim who learn actually that Ein Ma'avirin Ala Oichlin does in fact mean you're not allowed to step on them. And according to that, then in that case, then it means so. In other words, according to Rashi, the vote would be the same way as we have the expression Ein Ma'avirin Ala Mitzvahs. It doesn't mean you don't step on mitzvahs. It means you don't bypass a chance to do a mitzvah when you have one. With that said, though, there are Rishonim who learn that it means actually stepping on. So in ma'avirin ala oichlin means you're not allowed to step on food, and therefore that way it's not going to get trampled in the first place. Now, as the Gemara asks, well, ikan nochrim, the question is, what about goyim? Whether we learn that in ma'avirin means you're not allowed to pass by it, or whether it means you're not allowed to step on it. Either way, goyim are not going to pay attention to that, and they're going to step on it. So won't it be a simon osi l'doris? And we're back to the question then on Rabba, that in that case, how does it in that case? Then in that case, it's a simon osi l'doris, and it shouldn't be a valid simon. And the answer is nochrim chayshi l'kshopim. The answer is goyim are concerned about kishuf. As far as they're concerned, somebody could have put a spell, witchcraft, on this bread, and now if you step on, if you pass by it or you step on it, then it's going to be you're going to be in danger. So here, when we talk about the goyim, we are talking about them in fact stepping on it. But the answer is they're not going to step on it because they're concerned about any possible kishuf that they might have done on it. So according to Rashi and Tosfos, who hold that Ein Ma'avirin Ala Oichlin means you can't pass it by, so a Yid would have to pick it up. The first Yid who sees it pass it will have to pick it up. The question is that you may have had Goyim come through and they may have stepped on it, so the answer is they won't because they're afraid of Kishu. Therefore, the bread will still be intact by the time the first Yid picks it up, and then after that, it won't be stiff. Therefore, it's not a Simon Osili Doris in the first place. According to the Ritva and the Meiri and others who hold that it means actually stepping on Ein Ma'avirin Ala Oichlin means that you're not allowed to step on food. So it means the Gemara is thinking that and that anybody, even Jews, are going to step on it. That's really later on. Actually, the Gemara is going to the Ritva explains that later on when the Gemara uses the word Ma'avirin Ala Oichlin may be meant in a different sense of stepping on. Right now, at this point, Rashi and Tosfos are both saying that it means to not pass it by. But later on, we may have a different meaning of that. Anyway, the point is that goyim are concerned about kishuv, and therefore they're not going to step on it in the first place. So the Gemara asks about ikah behemo klavim. What about animals and what about animals and dogs? Of course, dogs are animals as well. Pashtos behemo over here means sheep, means cows and sheep and goats and horses and whatnot. And they'll trample on it. And the answer is ba'asrud leshchichi behemo klavim. We could be talking about in a place where there aren't very many, where there aren't so many animals like that. So therefore, it's less likely that they're going to step on it because they're not around. So Rabba can make the Mishnah work that way. We're talking about you found a loaf of bread that was baked by a private person. So it has a simen because of the shape and size and whatnot. So now it's not a simen osi lidoris because as far as Jews, Ein Ma'avirin Ala Oichlin, and the first Yid who sees it will pick it up and prevent it from getting trampled. If a goy passes by, he's also not going to walk on it because he's afraid of kishuv. And we're talking about there aren't behemoth or klovim around who are going to step on it. Tosfos actually points out, I mean, if there are goyim around, they might well take it. Tosfos says that no, he might think, after all, the owner of the bread might have left it there deliberately, and therefore he's nervous to take it because, for all he knows, the owner is watching him and is going to see him taking it, and then is going to go and then grab it back. Tosfos also points out some matters over here involving Roy over here. After all, you're saying that the Gemara was concerned before it realized the matter of Kishuv, that the first guy who walks by may trample on it, but still you are talking about a place which is majority Jews, and won't the first one pick it up? And then we should require him either way to be machiz. Tosfos has several questions in that regard, that Why are we even if we're saying that there are goyim over there, we should still say it's majority Jews, and we should require him to be machriz anyway, even before we knew the matter of goyim not stepping on it. Tosfos also adds that we learned yesterday about fruit that falls off the tree, that there's going to be shkotzim or a masim who eat it, but bread is larger and therefore it's less likely. When we say shkotzim or a masim, I translated it yesterday as insects and whatnot. Maybe that's not really a correct translation. Shkotzim or a masim would mean more like larger creatures, like various kinds of rodents or whatever, who might take the whole thing and run away with it. Well, a loaf of bread is a larger thing, which they're not going to. So the Gemara says, Lema Katanoi. Should we have to say that this machloikas Rabba and Rava? So far we haven't proved anything against either Rava or Rabba. Each one of them has ways of explaining the Mishnayis and the Braises according to their opinion. So Lema Katanoi, should we say that this machloikas of Rabba and Rava is actually a machloikas Tanoi? We learn in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Kol Davar Sheyesh Beishinui Chayav L'Hachriz. We said that anything where you have something unusual in it, then you have to be machriz. Ketzan, he said, what is that? Motze Eagle of a Seichel Cheres. For example, you found one of those round cakes, pressed figs, and there's a piece of earthenware inside it. Kicker of a Seichel Mois. So you find a loaf of bread and there are coins inside it. Where again, as we learned in the Mishnah, not necessarily does the person even know that it's there, but the fact is, it is a simon. Now, Rabbi Yehuda mentions that we call the Tanakama Savar Eilo Shaloi, implying that the Tanakama holds that you can keep it for yourself. As we learned in the Mishnah, the Tanakama is Reb Meir, whether it actually said in the Mishnah, Divrei Reb Meir, we talked about the different Girsois over there, but in any case, definitely Rabbi Yehuda is disagreeing with something earlier in the Mishnah. And the Tanakhama then would say that that Harei Lashaloi Savrua. Now, for purposes of the question, we assume the Kula Alma Simon and Bama Elav Havi Simon, that everybody is going to agree that a simon that comes there on its own is a simon. Meaning, in other words, over here you have an earthenware shard. It might be placed deliberately in the Eagle Shaldvela. It might also fall there by mistake. It might also fall in there accidentally when you're preparing it and not realize. We're assuming, for purposes of the discussion, that both the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda hold that even such a simon that comes by itself, and you wouldn't necessarily know whether it's there, is a valid simon. And we also assume, for purposes of the question, o ma'aviran ala uchlin, that you would be allowed to be ma'aviran ala uchlin. Now here's where the Ritva points out, it's possible that over here the word ma'aviran ala uchlin can have a different meaning than before, and here it would actually mean that you're allowed to step on the food, Whereas before, we according to Rashi and Tosfos, we meant that you're not allowed to bypass them. Anyway, so if we assume that way, my lab the simina osilidoris kamifligi. Well, then the machloikas between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda would be about simina osilidoris. Mar sava loy have a simin or mar sava have a simin. So the Tanakhama would hold it's not a simin. So even you find the shard of earthenware inside the cake of pressed figs, but the likelihood is that it's going to have gotten stepped on because it's a simin abom me'elav, so it's a simin that comes there by itself. So we said it would be a simin. However, since ma'avirin ala uchlin, since you're allowed to bypass it, and you maybe even allowed to step on it, then therefore, by the time anybody finds that igel shaldvela, it's going to have been trampled, and the simon may not exist anymore. And so the Tanakhama says there's no need to be machriz it. Yes, you happen to find it with the simon still intact, but the owner himself is going to be miyayish, realizing by the time it's found, it's probably the simon is going to be gone. Umar Sova have a simon, whereas Rabbi Yehuda would hold it is a simon because even though Ma'avir and Al Uchlin, and there's a good chance it's going to be trampled by the time anyone finds it, nevertheless, it still is a valid simon according to Rabbi Yehuda. So then it would come out that the Tanakhama is holding like Rabba and Rabbi Yehuda is holding like Rav. However, Omer of Zvid Mishmei de Rava, so Rav Zvid answers, in the name of Rava, no. Your assumptions that you're starting with for the As far as the definition of simina osima elo, by the way, so Rashi had said it means something that could come by itself. Sometimes, for example, you might have that you might have the earthenware or the coins might have fallen in there, but it's also possible they were put in there deliberately. Tosfos wonders who puts coins inside bread as a simon. So Tosfos says you're right. It doesn't mean that he actually put it there deliberately, but you could say there's a distinction whether he knew that it fell in there or not. So he doesn't know that coins fell into his batch of dough and he ended up baking them inside the bread, versus you can have the case where the person knows that it's there and he figures, you know what, fine, I'll just bake the bread. Listen, I'm keeping the bread myself anyhow. When I slice the bread open, I'll find the coins. And meanwhile, now he goes and carries the bread someplace else and drops it. So Omer Zvid, Meshmei the Rabba, no, you can't say that that's the Machlokas. No, you can't say that that's the assumptions that we're making, that a simon or osi lidoris, according to the Tanakhama, is not a simon like the way Rabba says, and that ma'avirin ala oichlin, you would be able to pass by or even step on food. Because if that's the case, kikos shabala bayis, which was said Abba, my machos, then why in the case of what we talked before about the loaves of bread that come from a balabas without coins inside them, why would you have to be machos? Before we said Rabba had explained the reason why with kikros shabala bayis you have to announce them is because they're not going to be lidoris, because Jews are going to pick them up as soon as they see them. Goyim are not going to step on them because of kishuf, etc. Now, if we're saying simon also lidoris have a simon, then if we're going to say that mavirin ala uchlin rather, then by the time anybody finds it, there's not going to be a simon, and why would you have to be machos? So no, Rav Zvid is going to say in the name of Rava, the machloikas in our Mishnah about the eagle of a seichid cheres, etc., has nothing to do with machloikas Rabba and Rava, but rather, the kula alma simon also lidoris have a simon. We're going to say that everybody agrees in the Mishnah that such a thing is a simon. So both the Tanakhama and Rav Yehuda are going to hold like Rava, that simon osi lidoris is nevertheless a simon as long as the simon is still intact. We could say also that everybody agrees, though, that you are allowed to pass by or even step on food. It doesn't matter. As long as the simon exists, it's still a simon. You could say the whole machlokas is just a simon that comes on its own, a simon that he didn't necessarily deliberately put in there. It might have fallen in accidentally. Or according to Tosfos, he may know or he may not know about it. So the Tanakama Sava, loy have a simon, but Rabbi Yehuda Sava have a simon. So the Machloikas would just be, is it a thing considered a simon? The Tanakama holds no, Rabbi Yehuda holds yes. But we don't have to say that they're arguing about simon or osili doris. The Gemara says Ikadam, another version of the way that Rabbi Zvid in the name of Rava explains what's going on in the Mishnah. The Ikadami begins the whole discussion in a different way. So again, the first version that we had so far was we started with the assumption that everybody agrees that a simon abama elov is a valid simon, because it's very possible the owner put it there deliberately as a simon, according to Rashi, or at least that the owner knows about it, according to Tosfos. We also assume that everybody holds ma'avirin ala oichlin, and therefore that it's likely to get trampled on before anybody finds it. And the machloikas, we assumed, was whether simon or osi lidoris is a simon or not. And Rav Zvid is saying that everybody agrees that the simon or osi lidoris is a simon, but the question is on simon abom elo, whether that's a valid simon or not. Ikadamri, now another version of the discussion, went as follows. Savrua, the Bnei Yeshiva first began with the assumption Dekula Alma Simon Abama Elav Havi Simon, that they both agree that such a simon is a simon. So far, that's the same as in the first version. The Simon Osi Lidoris Loi Havi Simon. We started with the assumption. Now, in the first version, we assume that Simon Osi Lidoris was in fact the point argued about in the Mishnah between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda. In the second version, we're saying they both agree maybe that simon or osi lidoris loy have a simon, that such a thing is not a simon, like the way Rabba said, my lab, b'mavirin ala uchlin kamiflegi, in which case the machloikas we would have to say is whether you're allowed to pass by or step on the food or whether or not. Mavirin, the Tanakhama would hold that you are allowed to pass by it, meaning that somebody else may trample it after you, or even that you, an animal or a goy or whatever, as we said before, or even that you yourself would be allowed to trample on it. So my love, but ma'avirin ala uchlin kamifli. So that would seem to be the machlokas. The marasava ma'avirin, the marasava ain ma'avirin. So the Tanakhama would hold you could, Rabbi Yehuda would hold you can't. Therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the simon is still going to stay intact because the first yid who sees it will pick it up, and therefore it's not going to stay there long enough for it to be simon also the daughters. So if we understand it that way, it comes out that both the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda hold like Rabbah that simon also the daughters is not a valid simon. And now in the second version, Omer of Zvid Mishmei Derava, no, you can't learn it that way. If you're going to tell me the Tanakhama holds that a simen also lidoris is not a simen, and Ma'avirin ala Oichlin, and you're going to tell me in addition, the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda are arguing about Ma'avirin ala Oichlin, and the Tanakhama would hold that you could, and therefore it's also lidoris. Well, then again, like we said before, Kikwas Shabbala Bais, Amai Machiz. Then why are you announcing when you find Kikwas Shabbala Bais and Rosh Hashanah Abim, there was a simon on it, but it's also the Doris, and according to the Tanakhama, there should be no reason to even announce it. Ela Omer of Zvid, Mishmei de Rava, rather, Rav Zvid is going to answer in the name of Rava, to Kola Alma Savi Simon, also the Doris have a simon. No, we're going to say that they both agree with Rava that such a simon is a valid simon. Umavirin ala Oichlin. And also that it's true, you could pass by, you could even step on food, and therefore the simen might get destroyed. But hocha, the simen abama elav kamifli, the machlokas could only be about simen abama elav, where this piece of earthenware or coins may have fallen in there accidentally, or may have been put there purposely. So that would be the machlokas. The Tanakhama sava simen abama elav, I have a simen, but Rabbi Yehuda sava have a simen. So if we explain the Mishnah that way, it comes out that both of them agree that Simon Osilidoris is a Simon, like Rava. Meanwhile, the Rabba Amalach, what will Rabba answer to you, according to either one of these versions, he would say, Kola Ama Simon Osilidoris Loi Havis Simon, the Ein Ma'avirin Ala Oichlin. Rabba will tell you that, no, both the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda may hold that Simon Osilidoris is not a Simon, like the way Rabba holds, but also, the Ein Ma'avirin Ala Oichlin, they would both agree that you can't pass by or step on food. So therefore, it's not a simen also the daughters. But hocha the simen abama elav kamifli, the machloikas would only be about a simen that comes by itself. Tanakhama sama simen abama elav loy have a simen, Rabbi Yehuda sava have a simen. So it would just be that machloikas about simen abama elav. So in other words, Rabba would say somewhat similar to the first version of Rava somewhat similar. Rava had said we would understand that they would both agree that Simon also the Doris is a Simon and that Ma'avirin ala Oichlin. Rava would say that no, everybody would agree such a thing is not a Simon, but in Ma'avirin ala Oichlin, and therefore there's no chance that the Simon is going to get trampled on. And that is why, in the case of Kikwas Shabbala Bais, why you would have to announce them. So we said before, Goyim, so Goyim are not going to step on it because they're concerned about Kishuv. And as far as picking it up, Tosfos says that they have reason to be concerned that the person may have left it there deliberately, and therefore they're not going to want to pick it up because they don't want to get in an argument with him. They don't know whether it was actually lost or whether it was placed there deliberately. So again, both Rabba and Rava have ways of explaining the machlokas in our Mishnah about kol davar sheyesh by shinui chayev lahachris. Both Rabba and Rava have ways of explaining it that fits with their shita, depending on the different possibilities of what we have that could be the subject of argument over here about simen asiludoris, yes, but also about simen abama elav and also about ma'avirin ala oichlin. So that each of them can work it out according to their shit.
Well, you mentioned about Makikris putting money into a
Yeah, fine, but they're maybe. I mean, the Shlissel Chala. Okay, first of all, yeah. I mean, obviously, Yeah, that's maybe, I guess you could say, but a schlissel was one thing, to put coins in there, I don't know. So, yeah, I mean, a coin to Rashi, that's what we're talking about. He may have placed it in there deliberately as a simon. A coin to Tosfos, not so much he may have placed it in there deliberately, but he may have dropped it in there. He realizes it's there, and he figures, you know what, I'll get it back when I'm not going to bother breaking the bread. I'll just, okay. Fine. So we have, in short, we have a few different ways of explaining the Machlokas and the Mishnah that don't require us to say that they're arguing about what Rabba and Rava were arguing about. Okay, so the Gemara summarizes. Amar of Zvid Mishmei de Rava. Chlolo da Veda. First of all, here's a general rule as far as lost objects that'll go throughout the parent. Kiven to Amalei Vailei L'Chisodin Kis. Once you hear that the person said, woe to me that I've lost my money, miyash lemina, then it means that he had yush. And therefore you would be able to keep it. Now we had before machlokas Rabba and Rava, but machlokas Rava and Abaya, whether if you don't know whether he had yush yet, whether it's valid or not, and we said the halacha is like Abaya, you have to know that he had yush. Once he says that kind of expression, you know he had yush. By the way, we showed him point out, you know, when we learned in Bava Kama, as far as Gzela, we learned Yush is not enough. You also need Shinu Deshus, Shinu Meiser or something. But there, that's because the Gazlan, the Ganav, whatever, first got it, the Isser. But here we're talking about there's no Isser. You found it. So therefore, it came to you Beheter. And therefore, so all you need is Yush, and then already you can pick it up, and there's no further Isser. Okay. Actually, the Rashba points out that if the thing does not have a simen, then like we said before, you don't need him to say violate the chasar and kiss. Once he realizes that he dropped it and he realizes he has no simen, then right away we know he'll be miyayish, and therefore so that's one halacha. But Amar Rav Zvid Mishmei de Rava. Also, Rav Zvid says in the name of Rava, as far as the whole question that we were having, as far as these krichas, where again the machlokas was a double machlokas. First of all, is a simen or osi lidoris a simen or not? Because again, these krichas being small may be trampled on. So is that a simen or not? And second of all, because they may get kicked and pushed around, therefore maybe the mokum is not a simen. So the halacha, as far as all of this, is like this: krichas b'shus harabim. When you have krichas and you find them in a shus harabim, harei shaloi, then you're able to keep them because they get kicked around. So even if they have a simen, krichas means small bundles of grain. So krichas we're talking about where there's no simen actually. Again, if there was a simen, fine, it may be a simen or osi lidoris, but it's still a valid simen. If there's no simen, and the only simen on it would be the mokim, the place where they were lost, then since they're small, then you can keep them. Rishos ha-yachid, e derech nefila. If you find them in rishos ha-yachid, it depends. If you found them in a way that it looks like they fell, harei l'shaloi, then also you can keep them. Because in that case, then the point is, the person is not going to know. You can't say the mokim is a simen. He doesn't know where he dropped it. So therefore, there's no sense, in other words, in announcing I found a bundle of grain and expect that somebody is going to come and say, yeah, I lost it in such and such a place, because he's not even going to chapsik that he dropped it dafka over there, or according to Tosfos the other way around. Well, no, he was saying Rishus Yochid, but so again, Rishus Yochid doesn't mean like inside somebody's house. We mean like a side street or something. According to Tosfos, the other way around. There's no sense in announcing I found something in this particular Rosh Hashanah Yochid and expect the person to come forward to say what it was, because he's not going to know where he dropped it.
Some people have an idea. Listen, oh my gosh, I feel that about half an hour ago I took a rest and I scratched my neck and then I went. And
took a rest is not derech hanocha. That is not derech nefila. That's derech hanocha. That's what Rav Zvid is saying. If you find a derech nefila, harei l'shaloi, then you can keep it either way. But if you find it in Rosh Hashanah Yochid and it's derech hanocha, it looks like the person left it there deliberately, no telemachos, that would have to be the case where you go and announce, for example, that I found something in such and such a place. However, now all of those rules only apply where the thing doesn't have a simen. But if it has a simon, and we don't care that's a simon osili doris, because according to Rava, it doesn't matter. A simon osili doris is still a valid simon. Therefore, lo shnabur shasarabim, lo shnabur shasayachid, bein derech nefila, bein derech hanocha, chayev lahakwiz. Either way, he's going to have to be makwiz because there is a simon on it. And the fact that that simon may get destroyed by the time you find it, that's neither here nor there. At least, at least you can try. Exactly. I mean, some details in this. Now we're going to learn later on in the parak that when you have suffik inuach, you're not sure if somebody put something down there deliberately or whatever, you shouldn't take it. So then in that case, why is he even mentioning over here that if you find the derech inuach, he's saying over here, if you find the derech hanocha, no to lamachos. What do you mean, no to lamachos? You should leave it there and expect that the owner will come back and get it. So the ritva draws a distinction because when there's no simon, then if you take it from the place, the only simon the person could possibly have on it is where it was, and at least as we learned before, Tosfos had mentioned it is a place that's at least a little mishtamer. It's a little bit safe. So therefore, let's say for example, it's behind a fence or something, as we're going to learn later on Chof Hayamid Beis. So you shouldn't take it because if you do, then the guy really has no, you ruin the simon for him. But here we're talking about that there is a simon on it. So therefore, you find it derech inuach. Go ahead, no to lamachres, and expect that the guy is going to come and give a simon for it.
If it's derech tefila, also if he has a simon.
Right, but at least that's the thing. When we say that kol derech inuach kol safek inuach lo yitol, it's talking about when there's no simon, because then you shouldn't take it, because then you're destroying the only simon that there would be, which is the place. But here we're talking about where there is a simon, then no to lamachos. And then he goes on to say that also, as we said, like Tosfos had said, that it has to be at least a mokum amishtamer a little bit. It has to be, can't just be that the person left it right there in the street. That's not a mokum amishtamer. The next person is going to pick it up.
And when do we say that, the guy put it down there because he couldn't handle it, we'll come back and get it soon?
Maybe, yeah, like you said, he took a break or something, yeah, he had to...
So at what point do you say, should I take it, shouldn't I?
So that's the thing. So Zvid is saying that if you find it derech hanocha and it's in Rosh Hashanah Yochid, then no to lamachos.
Right, the guy left it in a decent place and...
Well, so no, if it's in a mokum... Well, so if it's in a mokum, I'm a shtammer. Right, so if it's in a mokum, I'm a shtammer. If it's going to be a place which is fairly safe, then the owner is going to come and get it. Reb Zvid, actually, sorry, I said it wrong. Reb Zvid would be talking about a place that's not mishtamer at all, so it's not a safe place at all. So therefore, they may put it down or whatever, and then forgotten over there. So therefore, no to lamachos. Yeah. Well, so we're talking about a place that's mostly or completely Jew. We're going to talk about later on Daf Dalet. We're going to learn tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, about what happens in a place where there's goyim. Which of these didn't apply yet? Okay. The Gemara continues. The Mishnah had said, "Machrozes shel dogim." Another thing that you're allowed to keep if you find it is strings of fish. So the Gemara asks, "Amai lahavi kesher simen? Why shouldn't the knot be a simen?" But pashtus, every person makes knots differently, and the answer is no. But kitrid atzayda, we're talking about a knot that's made by fishermen. De kulam ahochim akatri, everybody ties the knot the exact same way, so there's no simen. Yeah. The Gemara asks, "Will I have a minion simen?" Okay, then the number of fish on the string should be a simen. And the answer is, b'minyana d'shavin, we're talking about where they're the same number, where there are the same, people put a standard number of fish on the string, so therefore, again, there's no simon in that. So therefore, there's really no simon, and therefore, there's really no simon of any kind, and therefore you can keep that. Doesn't matter. More or less is the number of fish. That's what I say, would be a simon if people do different numbers of fish. As far as the size of the fish, I don't know. I guess that's not...
Only can put 10. Here you got big fish, and you can only put.
No, so we're talking about that people put a standard number of fish on a string, regardless of the size. Apparently, so therefore. By the way, though, the Shittim Kubetzis points out. So why didn't the Gemara just ask? Do I have a Kesher or Minyan Simon? Ask about the two of them together. Why divide it into two separate questions? And the answer is, incidentally, the Gemara wants us to know that between these two things, the Kesher is a stronger simon than the minion. So if you have the two people come forward and one of them says that he can give a simon on the knot and the other one can give a simon on the number, let's say the knots and the numbers are distinctive, then you should give it to the one who says the type of knot, because that's a more distinctive simon. Okay. Bo mi name
it of shit. A weird amount.
Well, okay.
Half an amount.
Yeah, okay. So the Gemara continues, Bo minem Rav Sheshes, minyan have a simen, or loy have a simen. Can you bechlal say, is the number of something, for example, the number of string on the fish, the number of fish on the string, is that a simen or is it not? Rav Sheshes tinisua. So Rav Sheshes says, fine, from our Mishnah, you can't prove it explicitly, because after all, we don't know whether in our Mishnah we're talking about there were different numbers of fish on the string or not. We said it's always the same number, but we have a braisa. A braisa says, motza klei kesef or klei nechoshes. If a person finds silver kalim or copper kalim, gasterin shal avar, or if he finds a broken pieces of chunks of avar, of lead, v'chol klei matchus, or any other kind of metal kalim, hariz alo yachzir ad sheyitin ois, in order to return them, you can't return them to somebody who comes forward and says they're his, unless the person gives a simen, ad sheyichav mishkaloysav, or unless he can tell you how much it weighs. Right, the word ois means a simen. Umid mishko have a simen, so since we see in that context that the weight of it is a simen, mido minyan, Nami have a simen, then you can see from that that the size of it or the number of it, says Rav Sheshes, would also be valid simon. So that answers the question that yes, minion is a simen. Agoris Agrol takes out, by the way, the words over here, clay castle, clay nechoshes. He says we're just talking about a person found a chunk of silver or copper or whatever. So we're talking about, in other words, because of Kaylee, there would be a simon on the Kaylee itself. So we're talking about, let's say he finds a chunk of metal. So you can't really say there's no simon on the chunk itself, but there is a simon in the weight of it or the size of it or whatever. In fact, the Shita Mekubetzes points out that's why you were asking as far as the size. You were asking as far as the size of the fish. Why can't we say as far as the weight? Also, why we don't have to announce it in the Mishnah is because maybe they're all the same weight. And he says we find the fishermen often put the same number on a string. You don't find that they're particular as far as the weight of the fish on the string. However many fish are there on the string, they sell a standard number no matter the weight. So therefore. It is an unusual word to use ois instead of a simen. Yeah, and that was the style of the braisa apparently. So there is actually a machlokas we're showing him on the question. Tosfos points out that later on in the perek we have an example when it comes to clothing. You don't usually weigh it. Their mishkal is the strongest simen possible. If a person says, I can tell you that this piece of clothing weighs X amount, that's the strongest simen. As opposed to over here, we're saying that the weight of the chunk of metal is fine, but the midah or the minyan would be a greater simen, because here we're talking about kalim, where people often weigh them. So therefore, the weight is more likely to be known. The Nemuka Yosef says that actually, that no, even by kalim, the weight is a stronger simen.
Maybe there's also difference these days, though, that those gold days.
People made their own parts. This is also true. Yeah. I mean, you could say the same thing as far as clothing. Clothing has, so you could always look up. You know that a certain piece of clothing weighs X amount. You look on Amazon, they'll give you the shipping weight of it. Yeah. So yeah, obviously we're talking about, obviously it's different nowadays when things are mass produced. Yeah. Okay. We said in the mission of Achatichas Shabbosu V'chola, we said you find pieces of meat, then you're able to keep them. So Amai, the question is, why have a Mishkola Simen? Why isn't the weight Simen? And the answer is, Mishkola Deshoven, we're talking about where the pieces all weigh the same, are all the same weight. They're all standard size pieces that weigh the same. So the Gemara asks, but to have a Chaticha Gufa Simen, how about the piece itself can be a Simen as far as what part of the body it comes from? For example, the person can say that I lost a piece of meat that came from the flank of the animal or that came from the thigh of the animal. That would be something that's not, it's maybe not a simen muvhak. We're going to talk about later in the perek about simen muvhak and ainim muvhak. So fine, it's not muvhak. It's obviously there's lots of pieces of meat that come from that part, but at least it's something. So yeah. Why?
You have to know where it comes from.
So back then, when people shechted their own, butchered their own animals, you were more likely to know. Yeah, nowadays you buy a piece of meat in the store. As far as many of us are concerned, we barely even know that there are farms out there where they're raising and shechting the animals. As far as we know, meat comes from the supermarket. But yeah, come on. Anyway, so mi loy tanya. After all, isn't it like we learn in a braisa, motza chatichas dogim? if a person finds pieces of fish, the dog noshuch, or if he finds a fish that was bitten into, chayiv lahachriz, then he does have to announce that, because those are a simen. On the other hand, chavis shol yain v'shol shemen, v'shol tvor, v'shol grogus, v'shol zeisim, but if he finds barrels of wine, or oil, or grain, or grogus, which are dried figs, or zeisim, olives, and they're all the standard, and Tosfos points out, we're talking about that they're all the same size, they're all the same standard size barrel. So harei lo shaloi, then those you can keep. So we see, in other words, that if you find pieces of fish or bitten fish, then you have to announce it, because those are distinctive. So shouldn't we say, in other words, that the same thing, in other words, why by pieces of fish, why would you have to be machriz? Because the person can say it came from the head, or it came from the tail, or whatever. So why by pieces of meat is the Mishnah not saying that that he could give a simen depending what part of the animal it was from? And the answer is no. We're not saying that the part of the animal that it was a simen from would be enough. The Braisa is talking about the ikas simon of a pasca, where there's something distinct about the shape that it's cut in. He had the Rav Bar Avuna machtik le'atlosa kaunosa. We have an example where Rav Bar Avuna, when he was sending meat home to his wife with a goyish messenger, he would cut the meat into triangles, and that way it would be a distinctive simen, and that way the goy is not gonna swap it out for other meat, which is also not the way the goy is not gonna swap it out for today for meat. So Tosfos points out that you need shtei chosomers. So Tosfos says no. When it comes to a Yisroel choshud, when you have a yid who's choshud, who's suspect of eating treifas and of swapping out treifas for kosher, then you would need a double simon. But here we're talking about sending it with a goy, so therefore the goy is only going to exchange it only if he figures he's going to get some monetary benefit out of it. So therefore, here there's not necessarily going to be that. So Tosfos says actually that the goy would be the Yisroel Chosh. That's what Tosfos says. Yisroel Chosh le mirtas k'may nochri. A goy is afraid that if he swaps it out and they find out, then he's going to be in trouble. A yid, so Yisroel Choshud, is less concerned about that. So therefore, a yid may figure that he can get away with that. The Rashi actually in this Gemara is also brought in Chulin in connection with the halachas of kashrus over there, and Rashi over there explains that rather what it is he would cut it in these shapes in order that the people in his household shouldn't take the pieces for themselves. It'll be distinctive. Any meat that's cut in these triangle shapes is reserved for Rabba Bar Avuna himself. So in that case, it's not a question of Bosset and Tam and Ayin. He would be putting it inside a Choysim, Basay Choysim, and the purpose of putting it in triangles was just that they should know these pieces are reserved for him.
No,
we're not talking about that. They had meat in the house, obviously. They were saying sometimes there would be meat that he sent home that he wanted later on. I'm going to come home and eat it. The meat that he reserved for himself, he would cut into triangles. Either way, we're saying that when he's sending it with a goy, according to that way of looking at it, he would put it choysim b'sei choysim, a double seal like you're supposed to. It's interesting, by the way, that Rashi has to draw a picture of a triangle over here to illustrate Tlosa Karnosa, as if like we wouldn't know what a triangle is without Rashi doing that. I don't know why. No, triangles and triangles, triangles. I have no idea. Fine. And the Gemara says Dekanami. In fact, we can show that from the wording of the Braisa. Dekatani, Dumya de Dog Noshuch. After all, the Braisa mentions the pieces of fish together with a bitten fish. Now, a bitten fish, obviously, the simen is the shape of the bite. So the same way, therefore, we can say that Chatichas Dogen means that the simen is the shape of the pieces, not what part of the fish they came from, but rather the shape of them. The same way, so in our Mishnah, then, we're talking about these are slices that don't have any particular shape. So there's no simen to it. On the other hand, if this piece has had a simen, like Rabbi Bar Avuna's triangles, then yes, you would have to be machriz that, because that's distinctive. Yeah, but we're saying that the simen itself is that it was bitten. Okay, fine. Let's continue. Omamar, we said in the Braisa, so we just quoted. So we said all kinds of barrels of foods and drinks like that you can keep if you find them. Again, like Tosfos said, we're talking about that they are the standard size barrels. And Tosfos also adds, for example, it's true that you could have a simon, for example, how much wine is in the barrel. But if the wine is, if the barrel is full to the brim, then that's not going to be a simon either. It's true. If the barrel is partially empty, then that could be a simon that you found that, that I lost a barrel that was three quarters full. Anyway, the question is, the next Mishnah says that if you find jugs of wine or of oil, you do have to announce them. So what is it? Do you have to announce them or can you keep them? The answer is, the Mishnah, when it says Chai V'Hachos, is talking about Roshum. So so Roshum literally means marked. Rashi describes like this. We know their barrels were made out of earthenware. They would have an earthen, they would have a stopper for them, for the, they would have a stopper on top of the barrel, also made out of clay. Now what they would do is they would smear wet clay around it in order to keep the stopper in place. Now sometimes Shvat or Nissen, Rashi says, at the time when people are selling their barrels of wine to the storekeeper, the grape harvest season is around Elul Tishrei time. So then they put up their grape juice and let it start fermenting. And by Shvat or Nissen time, it's already ready to be sold as wine. So at that point, They sell, but they take a bunch of barrels and sell them wholesale, 10 or 15 together, to the storekeeper. They have to take off the stoppers so the storekeeper can taste it and make sure that the wine is good quality. Then they put back on the stopper and they put more clay around it. That kind of thing Rashi describes is called roshum. So the Mishnah would be talking about roshum. So therefore, that's the simon, because some people do that. Some people put the clay around it to hold the seal in place. Other people just carry it. Other people just bring it to the storekeeper open. So therefore, when you have the ones who close it up and put the sealant on there, that would be a simon. Most Rishonim disagree with Rashi on that and say that no, the word berushim over here means to actually make a mark. So it means every person makes their own distinctive mark on their barrel. Therefore, that would be a simon. Whereas the Braise says talking about where they didn't do that.
By the seal.
So according to Rashi, the difference is, did they actually seal it or not? In the Braise, we're talking about where they didn't seal it. In the Mishnah, we're talking about where they did. And according to Tosfos and most other Rishonim, the distinction is there a marking on it or not?
The owner who buys makes a seal, or the guy who sells it?
So that you could have either one. You could have, as far as making the seal, so that according to Rashi, we're talking about the one who's selling it to the storekeeper is going to seal it before he carries the barrel of wine to the store to sell. He brings it to the store, they taste it, and then he closes it up again. Oh, so actually, okay, so yeah, you're right. It might be the storekeeper who puts it, yeah. Fine. So the Gemara says we call the braisa of pesuach. So you're telling me then the braisa is talking about where it's actually open, and then you can have any kind of creatures and snakes and whatnot can drink from it. Even pesuach aveda midasi. If he left it open, then it's an aveda midasi. He knows that he's losing it. Why should you even have to? What's the hava? I mean, that you shouldn't be able to keep it. And the answer is Amar Rav Hoshea b'Meitzer. So Rav Hoshea says, because the Braisa is not talking about where he left it completely open, he put the cap on. He just didn't put the clay around it to seal it in place. So therefore, so it's not Aveda Midas, but on the other hand, there's no simen either. Abaya gives a different answer. Afilo Tema, Aidi V'Aidi B'Roshum, you could even say both the Mishnah and the Braisa are talking about Roshum. So according to Rashi, that it was sealed with the sealant. And according to Tosfos and everybody else, that it means that it was marked. It depends. Before everybody has opened up their wine cellars to start selling versus afterwards. If you have one individual person who did this, then it's a simon, because now you have, his is the only barrel of wine that you're likely to find around, or one of the few barrels of wine that you're likely to find around that has this roshim on it, the smear of clay or the marking on it, as the case may be. As opposed to after achash and niftach or oitzris, after the oitzris have been opened up. So according to Rashi, the point is many people now have barrels of wine that are sealed up like that. According to Tosfos, the vote is yes, he put his mark on it, but now you have everybody's buying and selling over there. The barrel that you had your mark on, and now you sold to somebody else. And now in turn, that person one Bubba Bus, for example, sells to many different storekeepers. So he has a simon on it, fine. But which storekeeper now lost it? It could have been any one of them. So it's not a simon anymore. So in other words, the same way, for example, we're going to learn later on in the parak, let's say, for example, as far as coins, even if you write your name on a coin, it's not a simon because you spend it. And then once you spend it, then it's not yours anymore and it still retains the simon. The same way, according to Tosfos, the vort is that even though, yes, you marked your barrel with your initials or whatever it is, but now you sold it. It's not yours anymore. And how many you sold to many different storekeepers? You sold batches of wine to many different wholesale storekeepers. So, wholesale, retail, all that. So therefore, it's not a simon anymore. And the Gemara gives an example. We have an example where Rabbi Yaakov bar Abba found a barrel of wine after the otzris had been opened up. And he came to Abaye and Omale, and Abaye told him, Zul shkoy l'nafshach, go ahead and take it for yourself, because there's no simon. So again, according to Rashi, because all the barrels at this point have a smear of clay around them to hold the stopper in place, so it's not a distinctive simon anymore at all. And according to Tosfos, the vort is, because yes, you may have found somebody's initials on it, but you don't know which storekeeper of many storekeepers that he sold to, which one lost it.
No issue, because I
guess we're talking about a Jewish place, and we're talking about that it's sealed, and therefore there's no issue of Yain Nesach necessarily. But yeah, we could be talking about a place which is all Jews. Okay, so we'll continue tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, and we'll finish with the rest of this, Be'ez Hashem. Shukriyach.